Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome on the Phil Hendry Show to the Major League All-Star Game exhibition match here tonight as we get ready for the Major League All-Star Game. I'm Marty Brenneman along with Joe Nuxall. Joe, it's great to be in Seattle, isn't it?
Well, it sure is, and this will be great.
The Major League All-Stars are here. All of the great ball players, the great Latin, black, white, all of them together. All one mankind, one group of people together for the furtherment of the great of baseball. Yes, baseball, the Major League game, and it's brought to you by Romalar cough syrup. Have you considered drinking it for its hallucinogenic value? Why get rid of that cough when you can get high on Romalar? And by Energene Spot Remover. Don't get out that stain, huff it instead. And by those great people at Darvon, still a great cheap street high. Speaking of high, we are in the city of Seattle. I can see the Space Needle there in the background, and just a beautiful, beautiful evening for baseball. God, it's beautiful. Just gorgeous here. It's, oh, oh.
All right, Marty, come on.
Safeco Field has never looked more beautiful. Yes, the hallowed, historic halls of Safeco Field. What do they make safes? What is it, a soup, a grocery store?
That's what they call it.
Yes, one of the great traditional ballparks, Earl Scheib Stadium. Jesus. But it ought to be a great ball game. Seriously, folks, we're just screwing around. It'll be a great ball game because we got these great baseball all-stars here from both the American and the National Leagues. Ivan Rodriguez, John Olerud, Brett Boom, Alex Rod... These are all the Seattle Mariners. Oops. Anyway, Alex Rodriguez, Cal Ripken Jr., Ichiro Suzuki, Manny Ramirez, Juan Gonzalez, and Edgar Martinez. Not one white man in the group. And, of course, from the National League, some of the great all-stars, Mike Piazza, he's a WAP, Todd Helton, Jeff Kent, Rich Arreola, Chipper Jones, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Luis Al. We were doing good there for a while, but the rest of them are black. All right, so there you go, the All-Stars. And tonight's Major League All-Stars, I think they've got their work cut out for them, Joe, against this ball club they're going to be going against here this evening. A tough, tough crew.
Well, there's no doubt about it. This will be a good team.
Yes, because tonight, the Major League All-Stars will be going up against a team of Julia Roberts' ex-boyfriends who also look mentally challenged. And with that lineup, here's Joe Nuxall.
All right, leading off for Julia Roberts' ex-boyfriends who look mentally challenged, Lyle Lovett. At first base, shortstop, second base, center field, right field, pitching, and third base. And Matthew Perry. At catcher, third base, shortstop, bullpen, and he's managing.
They picked Matthew Perry to manage the team because, well, look at Lyle Lovett. I mean, which of the two, what are you going to do? One guy's head's like a big eraser, and the other guy, well, at least he's able to go down the driveway and get his paper in the morning.
How long are we going to keep this joke going?
Yes, a team of Julia Roberts' ex-boyfriends who look mentally challenged against Major League Baseball All-Stars. Let's get this ball game underway. And now to sing the national anthem, here is Snooki Wonderson from the Downtown Boys Club.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleam? Quit it! Whose but stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight are the ramparts we watch? We're so gallantly streaming in the Rockets' red glare.
They're still taking batting practice down there.
In the Rockets' red glare, and the Rockets' red glare. Oh, say, does that star spangle like it's red glare? Oh, say, can you see?
All right, that's Snooki Johnson, the Downtown Boys Club. Real good, Snooki.
We have a program note. Kiefer Sutherland was scheduled to play right field, but he got a haircut and a shave, and he doesn't look quite so mongoloid anymore.
Fantastic. So Kiefer Sutherland scratched from the lineup because he looks like he's got half a brain left. So that means it's Lyle Lovett and Matthew Perry up against these major leaguers. And on the mound for the Julia Roberts ex-boyfriends who also look mentally challenged, Lyle Lovett staring in against one of the great hitters, John Olerud. John, of course, of Seattle, first baseman, bats left, throws right, 32 years of age. This guy is one of the great all-time players. And the Seattle, oh, he hit the ball. Out of here, home run. So Olerud starts this ball game off with a big home run, a big dinger out there to right-left center field. Just, I think it was down in right, where was it, Joe?
Right-left center field.
All right, it was in right-left center field. And that'll bring up Brett Boone facing Lyle Lovett. Matthew Perry in behind the plate. Here's the lineup of the pitch. There's a ground ball down to third base. Matthew Perry's running out to third base to try to get it. He's still chasing it. Now it's into left field. So now Matthew Perry's the left fielder. He grabs the ball. He throws over to first base. But Lyle Lovett wasn't there. He wasn't covering. Lovett was covering third. You idiot! He's safe. So Lovett, because he's mongoloid challenged, he's got that something wrong with him, man. Like, they pulled him out with the forceps head first. He went over to third base even though the play was the first. All right, so that's one on. There's one run in. One to nothing. We're number one.
This Major League Baseball game brought to you by Schlitz.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right. That'll bring up Alex Rodriguez. He of the Texas Rangers, a shortstop, bats right, throws right, 25 years of age, 5 years in the Major Leagues. This guy, you can't screw with this guy at all. This guy is dynamite. This guy is tough. First pitch swung on and missed. Strike one. 0-1 Alex Rodriguez. At first base is Brett Boone. Lyle Lovett staring in for the team of ex-Julia Roberts boyfriends who also look mentally challenged. Matthew Perry behind the plate, throwing down the signals, throwing a couple of more signals. Lovett can't see them. Lovett walks in, tries to see him a little bit closer. Here's the wind of the pitch. Well, the ball's right back at Lovett. Knocks him down, and he's got to up to center field. And Brett Boone goes around to third base, and now there runners at first and third with nobody out and one run in. How about that? That moron walked in to try to see the sign, then threw the ball. What's that all about?
Well, I did that in my career one time.
I know, hold on for a minute. There's a timeout on the field. Ex-Julia Roberts' boyfriends who look mentally challenged want a pitching change.
Okay, Matthew Perry's now going to pitch, and Lyle Lovett's going to catch.
Big deal!
Well, that's a pitching change. What the hell do you want? All right, we've had also a lineup change, Marty Brenneman.
Okay, Joe, what about it?
Well, a lineup addition for the Julia Roberts ex-boyfriends. Dylan McDermott was just in a motorcycle accident, and his head was rammed into a curb, so he qualifies.
All right. So they'll send Dylan McDermott down to first place after that motorcycle accident, so his head's caved in. So he's also mentally challenged, or it looks that way with that plastic plate or whatever the hell that thing is in his head.
They put a serving dish in his head.
They couldn't find a metal plate, so they put in a serving dish. Ain't that funny? Get out of here. All right, so Dylan McDermott first, Lyle Lovett at whatever the hell that is, home plate, Matthew Perry on the mound. The next batter is Ichiro Suzuki. This guy's tough. This guy's bad. This guy's Japanese. He's got it all, and he's got a batting average right now of .351, leading the American League. He is everything they've ever wanted out of Japan and more. Ichiro Suzuki, here's the windup, here's the pitch. He popped him up. And he's out. Okay. So that's one away, and that'll bring up Juan Gonzalez. So it looks like with one run in, these guys are going to really make a good showing. I think these ex-boyfriends of Julia Roberts that look, and in the case of Dylan McDermott, are mentally challenged, are going to do very well. Here's the windup. I think they're going to get this guy Juan Gonzalez out. I don't think there's any sweat. I don't think there's... It's gone. That's a three-run shot, 4-0, as the major leaguers now lead the ex-boyfriends of Julia Roberts, who look physically and mentally challenged, 4-0. The organ players just started to play for no reason. There'll be another pitching change.
Well, who in Christ are they going to bring in? They already changed.
I understand. I understand, Joe.
But you see, McDermott...
Yes, we got it. There's a pitching change with timeout on the field. And the score, the Major Leaguers, 4 ex-boyfriends of Julia Roberts who look mentally challenged, nothing. This is the Phil Hendry Radio Show.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back back here to Safeco Field in Seattle, the Major League All-Star Game. The Major League All-Stars taking on a team of Julia Roberts' ex-boyfriends who also look mentally challenged. Joe Nuxall and I were thinking about this earlier on, and we can only think of really two guys that look mentally challenged, and that's exactly who are named to this All-Star team today.
Well, when you look at Lyle Lovett...
Yeah. Okay, who are you?
Well, I'm Ross Porter.
You're Ross Porter, I don't understand.
And I'm Rick Monday.
Rick Monday and Ross Porter, you guys do the Dodger games, is that a thing?
Why, you two fairies, get out of here. We can cover this thing.
Wait a minute.
Now, Joe, I'm Rick Monday, and I watch you play ball. I think you're one of the great ball players, but you can't call me a fag.
We're Dodger broadcasters. We're supposed to call the All-Star game. Get out of here, Porter, you mealy mouth. Sound like you're talking with marbles in your mouth. Bug off.
Yeah, we're supposed to call the second inning of the game.
Well, when the second inning rolls around, okay, we'll come and get you.
You can't talk to me that way.
Oh, really? Watch this. How do you like that, Monday, huh? Drag him out of here, Joe.
All right. Get out of here, Monday.
You beat my partner up.
Yeah, that's right. You want some?
You beat my partner up.
You want a piece? Come on back.
You want a piece of me?
You beat him up.
I know, and we'll do it to you, too.
Had to beat the crap out of Rick Monday, everybody. So there's Marty Brenneman along with Joe Nuxall. We just beat the living crap, seven shades of crap right out of Rick Monday.
By the way, this exhibition game brought to you by Tylenol, Rick, with codeine. Have a handful.
All right, we got a little change up in the lineup here. As you know, it's 4-0. The Major League All-Stars really pounding the hell out of Julia Roberts' ex-boyfriends who look physically and mentally challenged. And that would mean Lyle Lovett and Matthew Perry. Now, coming in to help out on the Julia Roberts ex-boyfriend's team, Jennifer Love Hewitt's ex-boyfriend, Carson Daly. Because that guy's, you know, a little slow. His forehead is just a little bit too big for him. Looks like he can fit a freaking basketball in there.
All right, so Carson Daly's coming in. And let's go down to the mound and hear the conversation between him and Lyle Lovett.
All I'm saying is I could be the pitcher.
You don't be no damn pitcher, man. I got the ball.
Well, let me throw the ball and stuff.
Get out of here, goddamn rock and roller.
So you can hear them talking strategy. And that'll bring to the plate the next major leaguer, Edgar Martinez. And for more play-by-play, here's Marty Brenneman.
Oh, quit breathing that clam sauce on me. This Major League ball game also brought to you by Glade Spring Fresh Air Freshener, silver spray paint, and other fun huff items. And now this word from Glade.
Hi, I'm ex-footballer Sam Huff, and when you think of my name, think of Glade.
Huff.
Get it?
All right, now, the one there for the old folks. All right, Martinez in there up against Lyle Lovett, who's pitching, and Dylan McDermott, and also at second base now is Carson Daly. This is a team of Julia Roberts' ex-boyfriends who also happen to be mentally challenged, or at least look that way. For all we know, Carson Daly is also one of Julia Roberts' ex-boyfriends, but right now it's Jennifer Love Hewitt's ex-boyfriend, and he's mentally challenged, too. And they all look like idiots. Here's the windup and the pitch. Wow, that thing is way, 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 way right back up here. Foul ball. All right, that's 0-1 to Edgar Martinez. Edgar Martinez is an interesting story, isn't he, Joe?
He sure is.
Tell the fans a little bit about Edgar Martinez in Major League Baseball for some, I don't know how long, 18 years. The guy is just one of those mainstays of the Seattle Mariners, one of those great ball players.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's it.
Well, you, I don't know what else.
All right, so that's the story of Edgar Martinez.
He beat up my partner.
Get out of here, Porter. Ross Porter, he wants a taste. He can have all of me that he wants, okay? We just beat the crap out of Monday. We'll do it to you, Porter.
Hey, you got there to what?
Give him a handful of Tylenol. That brings up John Olerud now. It's 4-0. Here's the windup, the pitch to Olerud. Well, what did you think? It's out of here. They're playing ex-boyfriends of Julia Roberts who are mentally challenged. Come on! So Olerud knocks it out of here. It's 5-0. 5-0, and here comes the next batter. That'll be Brett Boone. Now they're going to be a pitching change. Carson Daly is in to pitch. Lyle Lovett at second base. Dylan McDermott behind the plate. Matthew Perry goes to first base.
Okay, they're also warming up in the bullpen. Meg Ryan's ex-boyfriend, Russell Crowe.
How does he qualify for mentally challenged?
Well, apparently he's got just enough alcohol in his system since their breakup to make him a retard.
All right. So Russell Crowe now in to pitch for the ex-boyfriends of Julia Roberts who are mentally challenged. Russell Crowe, alcoholic, full booze on, coming in, a real load on, 100 proof, straight Applejack, comes to the mound there, Matthew Perry at first, and here's the windup and the pitch from Russell Crowe, and he throws it into the stands. That's great. Come on, man! And you can hear the fans really going ape as Crowe, in a windup, throws the ball into the stands.
I did that one time.
Yeah, we know, Joe. All right. Who's playing the organ, okay, to play the game? Is...
I am.
It's Porter. Go beat the crap out of him.
I told you not play the organ.
I get to. I'm Ross Porter.
You want a piece of me?
I got all I can handle.
That's right. Get out.
All right, so Joe Nuxall just beat the crap out of Ross Porter. Let's get back to the ball game. Russell Crowe in to pitch. He's had just enough liquor to qualify as brain dead. He's real a washed man. That brain is really soaked. Here's the windup of the pitch to Ishiro Suzuki. Swung on and missed strike one. No, I guess he hit it. Going down to third base. Picked up there by the third baseman is Matthew Perry. Matthew Perry runs over to second base and then throws it to himself at first base. Double play! Well, I got to tell you something. I've never seen anything like that where a guy makes the play at third, then throws to himself at second, and then throws to himself at first for a double play.
Too bad there was only one runner on base.
Oh. All right, well, it isn't a double play. It was
a single play.
That's a great single play, though.
Yeah. Single play, you idiot.
All right, so there's two away, and that'll bring up John Olerud. John Olerud, who was just at bat, he's coming to bat again. Why wear yourself out for the season against these guys? These guys are terrible. All right, so on the mound now, of course, Russell Crowe behind the plate, Matthew Perry at second base is Dylan McDermott, and at first base, Carson Daly. Carson Daly down there picking his ass. Dylan McDermott, he doesn't know where he is. Here's the windup of the pitch. Hit right down to Carson Daly, right through his legs. There's a base hit. Carson Daly, by the way, works for the same company that I do, so I may be getting myself in a little bit of hot water for making fun of him. But doesn't he look just a little bit brain dead if you weren't 14 and female? All right, here's the windup of the next pitch. Oh, he just got a hit.
That's right.
Okay, play the organ, will you? New addition to the Julia Roberts ex-boyfriends and friends, P. Diddy, J-Lo's ex. Have you heard his music? Only a retard could sing that stuff. So he joins the team of ex-Julia Roberts boyfriends who look mentally challenged. P. Diddy, he'll go down to second base. And moving over to shortstop is Dylan McDermott. And back over to catcher is, down to catcher, okay, that's Carson Daly. And out of the mound is Russell Crowe. He'll also play catcher. So Russell Crowe's going to throw to himself.
Only a juicer could do that.
You got that right. So this is fantastic. Russell Crowe, here's the windup and the pitch to himself. Swung on, strike one. And Russell Crowe throws it back to Russell Crowe. What in the hell's going on? Out there right now is Cal Ripken Jr. This guy is one of the greats, one of the all-time greats. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Strike two. Russell Crowe pitching against Cal Ripken. He's making his own catches.
Today's game is brought to you by Depends Undergarments for adults. The team of rejected retards could use some of these things right now.
They're squirting in their pants out there as they're playing these major leaguers today. Here's the windup, the next pitch to whoever the hell it is. Swung and a miss. Strike three.
That was Cal Ripken Jr.
Yeah, okay, that's real great. That's real interesting. Cal Ripken Jr. This guy's been kept alive on life support, man. They stick him into these ball games. He's out there doing field. He's doing groundwork out there. That's how hard they want to keep him in the ball.
Here, huff this.
Ball game. I feel better. All right, says the organ plays. Well, why not just keep playing? This ball game sucks. Now here's the next batter. What is it, like 8-0 or something?
Well, what did you expect?
Major leaguers really mopping up on these ex-boyfriends of Julia Roberts. They suck so bad, now they're bringing in the ex-boyfriends of I don't know who. They got in a couple of Rock Hudson's ex-boyfriends. Uh-oh, there's another one. Long drive down the deep left field line. It's curving. Home run over the center field wall.
That was a long drive down the right left field line into center field to the bullpen.
Right, down the left right field line, into center field, into the bullpen, which is in right field.
Uh-huh.
All right, so that'll make it 15-0. Say, friends, if you want organ lessons, go to Joe Nuxall's house. Yes, Joe Nuxall will give you organ lessons. All you gotta do is show up with a six-pack of Schlitz. Joe will give you all the organ lessons you want.
That's right, and you can play like this.
Just the one song, though. He doesn't know anything else. Here's the windup of the next pitch to whoever the hell is at bat. Swung on, there's a line drive. That's a home run, too. Well, what a shock. Julia Roberts' ex-boyfriends who look mentally challenged are getting shelled here 15-0 in the first inning.
The final addition of the ex-boyfriend Tard team, former President Clinton. He'll soon be dumped by his wife. And boy, does he look like a Mongo Chow eater.
That's right. We'll be right back with more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Six. And now, Phil Hendry.
And now it's time for what reading material do you have sitting on your toilet tank? I'd ordinarily open this up to phone calls from the audience, but if I did, then all of you guys would be calling up with funny shtick magazines as opposed to what you really honestly have on your toilet tank. This is one of the things that separates us from the Phil Hendry Show. We can identify the bullcrap even before it comes calling into our show. So we don't even bother asking for phone calls in some of this shtick that a lot of other hosts might. Some other hosts might say, hey, what reading material do you have in your toilet tank? And people would call in with what they think was funny stuff as opposed to what's really honest. So then I have to fall back on who's going to be honest with me. My engineer, Craig Taylor, my producer, Mike Schaefer, and myself. And maybe what I've observed in other homes. Look at this. We already got a call coming in. We're not going to take the guy's call because the guy's going to call with something. Yeah, I have whatever he thinks is, you know, Field and Stream or some crap because it helps me urinate. Whatever.
But please don't bring your lips so close to my cheek.
The hell is this? All right. So one of the things that, if you go to our bathroom, the bathroom that we have in our home, actually we have a bathroom in our bedroom, and then we have, well, a, you know, an adjoining bathroom, so we don't have the toilet sitting in the bed. Wouldn't that be strange if you actually, just the toilet sitting in the bedroom? In fact, Marie and I were, huh? In here? Yeah, like, in fact, if you come into our studio, we have a toilet just sitting against the wall, you know. God, I really got to go. Well, you, please feel free. So I was house hunting with Maria one time, as a matter of fact, and we were looking at a house, and the lady says to me, this home has been completely remodeled. You know, the real estate agent, we went up to the master bedroom, and the master bedroom had the, you know, the bed and the everything. And then there was just, instead of a separate toilet area, it was an alcove. In other words, it was just another room not closed off by a door or even a screen. It was open with a toilet sitting there. So in other words, for you to have some privacy on the toilet, you had to lock the bedroom door. And if it's 11 o'clock at night or whatever, and say you get up in the middle of the night and you have to do business and you're like 5 feet away is your wife, I know a lot of you guys are saying, what's wrong with that? That happens every day. Well, not in our home. Thank you very much. See, if I was on the air and I really had to go, so I just bring the mic over to the bathroom and just sit down on the toilet and go. So anyway, in our house, we have on our toilet tank two magazines and two magazines only. But it does change up. I have a British humor magazine that I love to read called Viz. I've got about five copies of Viz sitting on the toilet tank and a Football Digest. Now, sometimes I'll bring into the toilet with me Jack Kerouac collected letters. I brought in Lester Bangs' biography, Let It Blurt. And read, I think, a whole chapter in there. I mean, seriously, you know, because it can either be a pleasurable experience or not. You can make it anything you want it to be. You can get in and out and be embarrassed, or you can sit down comfortably and read a couple of novels. Mike Schaefer, on the other hand, at his house, now get a load of this. He has on his toilet tank Rolling Stone and some hairstyling magazines. Well, now, I know. Gretchen reads Rolling Stone and you read the hairstyling, but no, your wife is involved in the hairstyle business. So she reads that, huh? And all you read is Rolling Stone. There's nothing else, not Sports Illustrated, nothing else in there, nothing that you'd be interested in. And then this tells you a lot about a guy, though. And then at Taylor's house, get a load of this, Auto World and Mac Addict, a car magazine and a computer magazine. So here's a guy who's a car nut and a computer nut. Here's a guy that loves to do his own hair while he's reading about rock and roll. And I like to sit there laughing my ass off at the National Football League. And there it is. Magazines that's on our toilet tanks. A friend of mine, by the way, had an old comic book, and I don't know if anybody's ever heard of this. It was something like
Joe Blow Milkman Detective. Have you heard of this magazine? This guy was, this character in this magazine was this hard-ass detective who was also a milkman. And he would go and deliver milk, but if anybody pissed him off, he'd chase the guy down. He'd jump out of, I swear, he'd jump out of his milk wagon, grab the back of the guy's car, and you'd see his feet like scraping along the asphalt as he pulled himself onto the back of the guy's car, then punch the rear window out, get into the cab of the guy's car, beat the crap out of him, and this was Joe Blow, Milkman Detective. We got an update here. Schaefer has a Victoria's Secret catalog in his bathroom as well. All right, so there you have it. What's on your toilet tank? Now, if you'd like to be honest with us and email us what's on the toilet tank, that'd be fine, but we ain't going to believe that or read it anyway. Thanks so much. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, welcome back. This is some of the new bumper music that we're trying out in the program. Just something that I think that it needs. I need a chorus of voices, saxophones, and a lot more drinking on this show is going to be encouraged over the next few months. A lot of bongos. Because you know what it is, man? All that technopop, I get more complaints from radio stations, from program directors. You know what do they call it, man? They call it gay. And not far be it from me, Craig, but that technopop, that electronica, that whole percolator, that whatever that cat's name is, that dude, the propellers and Prodigy and all them cats. Now this don't sound gay. Just five guys who are singing soprano. Get out of here. Okay. So Fear Factor, the kids are hooked on this show now. And I got no problem with... See, I tried... There's only one movie I've been able to turn my kids on to that they have legitimately said to me, okay, you got us. You got us. It's awesome. It's so awesome, we can't watch it anymore. And that was Exorcist. That's the only flick. Do you realize what that says? You got to understand what that says. See, I live with four kids under the age of 15. These guys are the cultural dictators of the next 10 to 20 years. These are the guys that will be setting the pace. I see what they're into, man. Fear Factor, all the reality TV, they're totally down with that. And Fear Factor, while I personally wouldn't watch it, I understand the guys are watching it because they don't want to suspend their disbelief. They don't want to sit and watch plot development. I tried to turn them onto a flick the other night, Clockers. That's a nice movie for a 9-year-old, don't you think? A Spike Lee movie. All I got to say is Spike Lee, Clockers, and black people. And automatically, anybody that hadn't even seen the movie would say, inappropriate. Well, how do you know? It just so happens it is, but how do you know? But so they're totally into the show, and I was watching this thing, and they got the usual snakes, and they have the worms thing, which is sort of a snakes and worms. That's common to all human beings because it's an archetype. And the reason why we're afraid of snakes and worms. Do you know why we're afraid of snakes and worms? Do you have any idea why the human race almost collectively is afraid of snakes, worms, and insects? Adam and Eve, says Mike. Adam and Eve. Some freaking Bible story is what this cat's laying on me. Some fairy tale is what you're gonna lay this on me? Why do human beings have a fear of snakes and worms and spiders? We don't need to go to the Bible, Mike. We need to go to Carl Jung, who was one of our great psychoanalyst head shrink guys, and he believed in something called racial memory. By racial memory, we're not talking about black-white race. We're talking about human race. The human race has imprinted in its memory, collectively, the days when we were cave people. When we were living in caves and living in dark places, and we had to share our living space with who? Snakes, worms, and insects. And we didn't dig it then, and we still don't dig it. We'd wake up with these freaking things crawling all over us, right? So we have this racial memory. Why do you think we continually sit and stare into fires? Why do we look and sit around a campfire and stare at it? Why? Because you think we're like that cat on Survivor contemplating throwing ourselves into it? Partially correct. But more to the point, We have a racial memory of when fire was discovered, when it first was brought into our encampment, and we all gathered around like a bunch of dumbasses and stared at it. And that's racial memory.
Or nothing at all.
Now then. Okay. So why did I get off on that? Oh, yeah, fear factor. I was thinking, well, snakes and crap like that. I was thinking of what scares me. What really scares the crap out of me. You know what scares the crap out of me? And I mentioned this in the air a couple of years ago, because when I was working at night and I would go home and everybody was asleep, and in our kitchen there was no window coverings, I'd sit in the kitchen and I have myself a late night snack. You know, Marie and the kids, they're asleep. And I'm downstairs and I'm sitting there, and then I would look at these windows. And beyond the windows is nothing but black. Now, I'm telling you right now, I'm being honest with you, this would scare me almost into insanity if I looked up and I saw a face staring back at me through the glass. To the point where I would sit there at night and I'd think, and I would turn the outside lights on and like walk around the house a few times. Just make sure there was nobody creeping around. Now, if they put me on Fear Factor, that'd scare the crap out of me. But then I'd know it would probably be some schlub who's an assistant director, and it just, you know,
here's the face, Phil.
Well, it looks like Mike. That doesn't work. That and I don't know what other, whatever. Heights. Put me a fear of heights. Now, I know they had the guy the other night who was walking across a tightrope. Where was it, Mike or Craig? It was walking across a beam 100 feet up. Even if I was attached to a bungee cord, even if I was even if I knew that there was there was no way I could get hurt, that I would fall into a net, and I would be completely, well, maybe in that case I wouldn't be too scared. But heights have always scared the living hell out of me. And when I have to, and I've said this before, I've tried to break myself of the fear of heights by standing at the very edge of a scenic elevator, like at the St. Francis or one of these hotels that have those outdoor elevators, and I try to break myself of the fear by standing at the edge of this thing. You know, my brother-in-law jumped off a 300-foot gorge in New Zealand, okay? Unfortunately, he wasn't attached to anything, so he just kept going. But think about if there had been a bungee cord, which he thought there was, it would have been really cool. Unfortunately, they'd never found him. No, I'm kidding. He was attached to a bungee You look at me, man. You know I wouldn't do that to you, Craig. Yeah, he was a 300-foot gorge in New Zealand. This dude jumped 300 feet? What do you mean I get freaked out by the Haunted Mansion at Disney World when the ghosts appear in the mirror? Okay, maybe I do. I'm not going to share that with the audience. I've got my little superstitions. I have my little fears. I have strange nightmares and stuff. But anyway, the kids are totally into this Fear Factor. And they watch it every time it's on. I don't know when it's on, man, but I'm constantly, you know, watching these flicks with them. These guys are coming home, man, with some movie recommendations. It's just like, forget it. Have you seen Scary Movie 2? Scary Movie 1 sucked. I don't care what anybody says. It sucked. And, yeah, and I got a natural, thanks, Craig, reminded me, I have an unnatural fear of Mondays. I come in here and I just, oh, Fear Factor is on Mondays. Well, I'm afraid of Mondays, so I guess I won't be able to watch it. Because I don't really, ordinarily do I want to come out on Mondays. Monday night, yeah, they were watching last night. That would make sense. Why would I be talking about it on Tuesday? They were watching on Monday night. Good going, Phil. You figured that one out all by yourself? You're in the show on Tuesday. The kids are watching it last night, you dumbass. Monday. Now, where was I? Oh, man, that scary movie. I can't, you know, for the life of me. But here's the thing. I have said to them, it's obvious to me. Now, when we go see the movies, well, like Titanic and all that, Pearl Harbor, whatever, it's cool. Blow it up. It's a great thing as far as the kids go, because it's a Disney ride. That's what the movies that really turn them on are, the Disney rides. But when I showed them Exorcist that night, and then the other night, it was like 12 midnight, it's summer, so we let the kids stay up, I said, let's watch a movie. That let's watch it. I said, let me go into all my adult movies, you know, because they're 13 and 15, so they're old enough. Maria's going, yeah, that's cool. So I'm digging around. Exorcist, no way. No way. I said, come on, you guys. You've seen it once. It's cool. There's no way you're going to show that to us. Now, understand one thing. The only people that find The Exorcist scary are Catholics. You have to understand this. There's no Protestant that ever saw that movie that was anywhere near as scared of it by Catholics. So when we say that The Exorcist is one of the scariest movies ever made, you have to qualify that. The Exorcist is one of the scariest movies ever made if you're Catholic. Because I talked to all kinds of people, Jewish, Protestant people. You see, yeah, it's fine. Wasn't scary? Not really. The head spins around, whatever the hell. Look what the Catholic Church did, a freaking number on us about the devil, didn't they? Because that thing scared the crap out of me. When that thing first came out, I was working like overnights down at some radio station in Orlando. I kept looking around for that kid with her head twirling around to walk into the studio and hand me a cup of coffee.
Here's your coffee, Mr. Henry.
The head spinning. But that movie freaks them out. So I say to them now, I said, look, I'm not taking you. It sucks. Well, you don't know movies very well. I don't. I turned you on to The Exorcist. Well, I guess you're right about that. Yeah, I'm right about that. And Alien. Because the night that I turned them on to Alien was the night that, that began seven consecutive nights of the one of the little ones coming in and saying, I need to sleep with a grown-up tonight. Well, no, you're not going to. See, that whole sleeping with the parents thing, how many of you guys out there have your kids sleeping with you? Well, stop it. With all due respect, my very dear friend DJ, who I love like a brother, with all due respect, DJ, you're a mess. Get your kid, he's got a, well, I hope the kid's not listening, then he's going to feel really bad.
Your kid shouldn't be sleeping in the same bed with you and your wife, okay? He's 21.
No, he isn't, I'm just kidding, but 18. That whole thing, you know, so he comes out, he says, I want to sleep with a grown-up tonight. Well, you're not sleeping with a grown-up, you're not sleeping with us. That's, well, I have to, why? Because the alien, I said, well, you know, that's tough luck. You're sleeping in the room with your brother and with your brothers and your sister. There's three of them around you. You're up against the wall, so the three of them are sleeping on the floor around you because they were doing like one of these slumber party things. So there's like it's a fortress you've built of flesh. There's human beings around you, and behind you is a wall. What's going to get you?
I want to sleep with a grown-up.
Get out of here. Hour later. I really got to sleep with... Get out. No way, man. You ain't sleeping with no grown-up, okay?
Well, you showed me the movie the first place.
Well, it was Alien, man. I mean, that's scary. The first Alien. I don't know anything about the first Alien yet, freaking adult. Don't let your kids sleep with you. He's scared of the what? The dark? Put him in bed. That stuff, and when Marie and I got married, she thank God for her because she believes the same way that I believe. Kid goes to his own bed to sleep. There's none of this, I got to crawl in with mommy and daddy because I'm scared of the boogeyman stuff, right? You just go to bed. Just work it out, Jim. Work out your fears. Go back and go nuts. Write some scary stories. I don't know. Turn into freaking Jeffrey Dahmer if you have to, but I got to get my beauty rest. So I walked in there one day when the kids were like, I don't know, really young, and they were all laying in my bed watching my TV. Now, over the last several years, there have been many great films, but the line that I remember out of all of those movies is the one from Heat when Al Pacino says to the guy who has moved in with his ex-wife, you can screw my wife, you can eat my food, but you will not watch my television set. And that's the way I feel. And I don't care how old you are. So when I walked in and there's a 7- and an 8-year-old laying there in my bed watching my television, get out! Mommy said, get out! Now, do I sound cold and heartless? No, I've butched these kids up. They appreciate me for this. Now they like the abuse. And, of course, now I can't con them into believing anything. I can come up with any line of bull crap at all. They, you know, they don't believe it. So there's the little one, the little girl. She's 9 years old, and I look at her and I say, be a man. Go sleep in your own bed. What are you laughing at? You said be a man. All right. Well, you know what I mean. 1-800-449-8686. Now, if you'd like to buy the Best of the Phil Henry Show Year 2000 CD or picture disc vinyl, 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445. Over $500,000 have been raised by the Phil Henry Show for my friend's place over the last few years. We thank you for your support. Back in a minute.